You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Hi, Dumelang. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Clement Manyatela Show. How are you guys doing today? I'm doing okay.
702. Open line.
It's the open line, so I'm taking your calls on 011-883-0702. You set the agenda. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? While I wait for your calls, and I see some of you already calling, let me quickly update you on the number of cases in the country. We now have 215,855 COVID-19 cases. That's an increase of 10,134 from 205,721. In terms of the deaths, we're looking at 3,502 that's an increase of about 192 from 3,310. We have over 1.9 million tests that have been conducted so far. Gauteng now sitting at 71,488. The Western Cape is at 72,156. We're really just behind the Western Cape, which has been the epicenter of this virus in the country for a couple of months now. So things really are not looking good in terms of the surge in the number of COVID-19 cases. So speak to me about what's on your mind on this Wednesday morning. What do you want to talk about? You set the agenda. I saw something not funny, but a bit weird. Takealot. I don't know how many of you have used that online platform. They are now selling coffins. And I saw a coffin that is being sold for $4,899. I know it's convenient because you can buy this coffin in the comfort of your home, but I'm just thinking, how weird is it? At one point, do you pause and think, I want to buy a coffin for myself because what, I'm preparing for what's inevitable? I know that Zodwa actually bought her own coffin. It was a very expensive coffin, and she said she doesn't want people to stress about buying her a coffin, and she just wanted to have it sorted while she's still alive. So it seems you can still do that with Takealot. You can just simply go online and you can purchase the coffin, and you don't have to leave your home. So it's easier that way, in the comfort of your own home. It was going for about 4,891. That's the one that I saw. Is that something that you would consider, buying a coffin online? And under what circumstances would you do that? I guess if you know, there's someone who has passed in your family, in your close circle, then you can do that. But then again, if you are still alive and you're buying it for yourself, then it becomes a tricky one, doesn't it? Give me a call on 011-883-0702. You can send me your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. If you prefer to send me your SMSs, you can do so on 31702.
702. Open line.
All right, let's pick up from where we left off with the open line. Farona, you are in False Loras. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, and how are you? I'm the first time caller.
Ah, welcome, Farona.
Okay, thank you very much. And then I just want to contribute on the buying of the coffin while you're still alive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, definitely it's not a new thing. You know, there was this a rich man in Soweto, known by the Demoloi, and he wants to be there. And I'm in support of that because definitely in our culture sometimes, you know, how we squabble about the coffin, you know. And it'd be better that we buy that coffin. Even if I buy it online and I put it in my will that I have a coffin that I bought and it's at takealot.com.
Yeah.
When I die, that it can be connected to the mission trap.
Yeah. And what about, you know, because Farona, there are people that want to like buy these modern caskets, you know, and so if you buy something now, but you leave this earth a decade later, it's not modern anymore, unless maybe the conditions through which you bought it allow you to then go and change it for a better modern casket, because there are people that are crazy about that.
I didn't catch that. You know, I'm actually driving. What's the question again?
So, Farron, I was saying, are you happy to buy a coffin now that you can use or your family can use for you even 10 years later, regardless of how modern or not it is at the time?
Absolutely. That was my choice.
Mm.
They don't have to change it because I bought it in 2020 and it has to die in 2030.
Yeah.
So that was my choice then. They just have to use it.
Yeah.
When we have to please the people in terms of, you know, they buried her or him in an expensive
fancy
coffin. And
yeah.
So what? He's going definitely into the grave, you know?
Yeah, ish. And that culture is still there, Farona. People are still crazy about buying these expensive caskets, eh?
Yo. No, it's actually showing off. It's actually showing off. Mm. And if we can make a research of these people that are actually, some of them, not everybody, that are buying expensive coffins for their family, they've never seen it before, you know?
Mm. Yeah, true. Farona, thank you so much for your call. Here, Farona calling us from False Loras. Let's go to Eden Vale now. Sibusi, so good morning.
Clement, how are you?
Sharp, how are you, man?
Good, thank you, man. Clement, I'm worried about the delay or the backlog in the testing currently for coronavirus.
Mm.
My brother is a pharmacist. He tested 3 weeks ago. He only had mild flu symptoms, and it was just a routine test because of there was an exposure or two in his environment of work.
Mm.
His results only came back yesterday.
This is 3 weeks later?
Work, yes, he's been at work all along in the poor areas of the Eastern Cape, in a government clinic. He's a pharmacist there. So all these sharp spikes and those kind of things, I mean, there's a delay, there's a backlog. And only now he received his results, and they're asking him to quarantine. The guy is fine.
Mm.
He is fine. He's been working all along. There was a mild flu for 2-3 days. He got better. He was at work.
Yeah, also what I don't understand also...
What's the government doing about that?
So what I also don't understand is how does his company say test because you may have been in contact with the people that have tested positive, but they still expect him to be at work. So what if in the 3 weeks... the results come back positive and he's continued with life as normal?
This is government. He works for a government clinic. It's government. Mm. It's the government doing this.
Sure.
So I'm just very concerned.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that story with us, Busi. So that is very concerning. And I think the issue of backlog, we've been speaking a lot about this. Government has admitted that it has problems with that. And that's why there's been lots of conversations about the new targeted testing that maybe needs to be the approach going forward. You know, people like, you know, Shabir Madi, you know, have come out to say we need to change the way we are going about testing because it's just not going to work, especially given the capacity constraints that we have.
702 Open Line.
26 minutes before 10 o'clock, we continue with the open line. Sipho, you are in Vereeniging. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Good. How are you, Sipho?
Welcome to the world of radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome. A good man. Problem that I see, I think the government have seen it, and it only makes sense. I'm a project manager, but I don't have to be a project manager. I just have to use common sense. Look, right now, the testing method that the government are using, it's going to be useless as soon as we have the vaccine available, and it has to be applied. We have our health workers in full force right now. We don't have capacity. What's going to happen? Who's going to apply the vaccine? So they have to change the method. It's not going to work. So if we're going to have to apply, that means we're going to have to find volunteers to do the vaccination of people. And it's going to be, well, we have about, what, 60 million people? So how long is it going to take? About another 10 years to vaccinate everybody. And yet again, we have people who are committed right now with the treatment of COVID sufferers. So we're going to have a problem. So we better start sorting it right now. We don't need meetings. We just need common sense, and it's got to work.
And you're raising an important point there, Sipho, because if We need to start planning for it now so that when there is a vaccine, yes, there are trials now that are underway, but we need to be at a point where there's, if there's a vaccine, and as soon as it's available, we're able to say, here's the capacity, here's the stuff that will administer that process. And then we're not stuck with a situation where here's this thing we've been waiting for, but it's going to take us another 5 years for everybody to be vaccinated.
Exactly. Mm. And right now, as it is, just to test everybody, it's going to take 5 years. I mean, we only have tested, what, 1.9 million people? And we have another, what, 55 million people to test. It's not going to work.
Mm.
It's definitely not going to work. We're going to go forever with this thing. So yes, we need to start targeting, because it's impossible. Look, you just do a simple math. Divide the 55 million people who've got in South Africa by the 1.8 million, then we'll tell you how many years it's going to take for us to test. That's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So we need to really dig our heads down the real issues and start actually squandering money into just testing everybody. It's not going to work. We need to do targeted testing, and we've got to start now, not tomorrow. Now.
Mm. Thank you, Sipho. You make an interesting point, man. Thank you so much. You know, some of you are responding to the conversation around coffins. You SMSing us on 31702 and 31567. And somebody says, hi, Clement. Hi, Connor. I'm not buying my own coffin. That's an SMS from Gloria in Pretoria. And somebody else also says, Clement, our municipality is getting ready with the land for burial sites to accommodate the numbers of people that are dying as we go along with COVID-19. That's Xoli in Johannesburg. Yeah, Xoli, I think there was a point where the Gauteng provincial government was in fact planning around that particular issue. They were now identifying some land that can be used for mass burials as we really approach the peak of the virus. And we know what that comes with. And remember, in fact, was it Professor... the professor who, the first time that government brought us and brought the experts that have been advising them, and they had a discussion around the modeling, what are we expecting in the next couple of, months, what are the projections telling us about the trajectory that the virus is taking? And I remember Professor Salim spoke to us about how we need to be ready psychologically. Because when the peak comes, then we're going to be dealing with instances where we're going to have to bury people. There will be mass burials of people, and that can take a psychological toll on us. And he spoke about the importance for us to be ready psychologically for that. Here's another SMS from Isaac. Clement, I work next to a Woolworths store. One worker died, 3 confirmed cases. The store has never even closed for decontamination. So that's an SMS from Isaac there. There was another SMS that I saw about coffins. Someone who told me about what's happening in other countries. Yeah, here it is. In Ghana, apparently you can get buried in a special coffin, one like a chicken or a car or a packet of cigarettes. So you can design your own. And reminds me of the funeral of that gentleman. Was it in the Eastern Cape who got buried in his own Mercedes? Like, they had to really dig a huge hole because that was always his dream. He told them, I want to be buried in my own Mercedes. And that's exactly what happened. He was buried in his own car. So sometimes it's about respecting the wishes of those that are leaving this earth, and they made those wishes when they were still with us. Another SMS here, Clement, I think they should lower the fees for COVID-19 tests in the suburbs so more of us can go testing and help make figures more accurate. Yeah, but I think we must also have reasons to test, eh? Because the problem is we're clogging the system. If we go test and we don't really have or fit the profile or the criteria warranting us to test, then we're getting to a point where we are now, where we're looking at this issue of the shortage of test kits, because the panic was everybody just wanted to go and test for COVID-19, even when they didn't really show symptoms or they felt they were flu-y or they had a headache. So that can also become a problem. There's something else I want to tell you about. I don't know if you saw on Twitter yesterday. There's a lady called Tracy Zeller who has been tweeting lots of things around black people and white people. And I want to take you through some of her tweets, and I wonder what you make of them. I have to say up front that I don't know who Tracy Zell is. I don't know if she's white or if she's black, but she seems, well, from the tweets and how she's phrasing them, she seems to be speaking from a position of a white person, because she constantly refers to we as in white people. So this is what she's been tweeting, I think from yesterday already. She says, Bonang Matheba bought used white people's hair for around 12,729 rand. Things black women go through to look like us whites. Why all that money to buy white people's body parts? And then she's got hair in brackets to put on your head. Do you get buried with your hair or put them on your will? Love your natural hair. Another tweet that she tweeted was, black people love defending our economy as if it is theirs. South African black politicians didn't build any economy after 1994. Blacks take taxis and buses to come and work in our white areas. You will never ever see us going to work in black areas because there is no black economy. That's another tweet that Tracy tweeted yesterday. And there's another one around Jesus Christ where she says, Jesus Christ is white, not black. Do you think if he was black and his name was Thokozani Dlamini, we as white people were going to pray him or put his picture in our homes? Chinese pray Buddha. The Arabs pray Muhammad. Whites have Jesus. Blacks, tell us, where is your own Messiah? And then there's a last one here where she speaks about fellow blacks practicing their culture of calling their ancestors by burning candlelights and incense. And she says, when you do that, you call it evil. But when whites practice their culture of calling their ancestors Jesus Christ, burning candles and incense, you call it holy Christianity. And these tweets have been hashtagged Tracy Zeller. And I see the conversation that has been out there is, how do we look at what she's saying? Does she have a right as a white person to tell black people this? For instance, even with this last tweet, you practice your culture of calling your ancestors by burning candlelights and incense, you call it evil. But when whites practice their culture of calling their ancestors Jesus Christ, burning candles and incense, then you call it holy Christianity. So some people on Twitter have taken offense to that, and they've argued, you have no right to come and speak to us about our cultures and how it's different to yours and how it's probably perceived as inferior to yours in society. But I'm interested to hear from you what you make of her views around how people are trying to look white through buying hair as if they don't have the agency to decide how to look. You know, when she speaks about politicians who didn't build any economy after 1994 and that black people take taxis and buses to go to work or go home in white areas, that's where they go to work, and you'll never see, ever see us going to work in black areas. But that's how the economy was also designed, right? For years and years. That's how it was designed. So that's the structure of our economy, and it's not just going to be dismantled. The economy was in these areas. That's why we always speak about spatial integration and people living so far from where they work, because that's been the reality of black people and how everything was structured. Spatial planning. That's what I wanted to say there. All right, I see more of your voice notes are coming in. It's 15 minutes before 10 o'clock. 702 Open Line.
Hi, Clement. The COVID social distancing regulations has been issued and cases are rising. I think the government should start leading by example if those regulations work, rather than blaming people for the inappropriate following of those regulations when there is a rise in cases. I'm challenging the government to open parliament and show us how it is done, because those regulations have got loopholes. For example, why are they allowing people to make masks which are not SABS approved? And secondly, the 1.5 meter distance is invalid because the virus can be airborne.
Yes, yeah, and that's what the scientists are telling us now, hey? There were 200 scientists who have written to the World Health Organization arguing that, in fact, there is growing evidence that shows that the virus is airborne. I've got an SMS here from someone who says, Tracy has no right to talk about white and black. Religion is for everyone, whether it is Buddha or Christ. She needs to rather keep quiet. It is because of people like her that we're living in the divine. Most of us were born after the whole apartheid and we want to just live with one another and be one nation. That's an SMS there. That's unsigned. Peter, you are in Springs. You want to comment on that tweet?
Yes, I just want to challenge Tracy, if she can come to the studio. Jesus is not white. He's painted white. Angels are painted white. Mm. Adam is painted white. You see, if she, I want to challenge her. Let her come to the studio. I'll come there, and then we will prove through scriptures that Jesus is not white.
Mm. That's how he was painted and sold to the rest of the world.
Exactly. So if she wants to come to the studio, I can come with the Bible to prove that Jesus is not white, Adam is not white, angels are spirits. How can angels be white? Because angels are spirits.
All right. Peter, thank you so much for your call from Springs. SG, you are in Highlands North High.
Hi, how are you, Clement?
Sharp, how's it, man?
I'm all right, man. You know what? I want to look at this in two different ways.
Mm.
Firstly, against a lady, you can say she's not allowed to say whatever she said, but maybe it is something that we need to look into. I'll say, remember there was a sort of like it was called disaster, where there were a lot of locusts around Eastern Africa, Kenya, somewhere there.
It's
last year. So the way it was supposed to be looked the African way, because that was manna, it's food to people, you see.
Yeah.
But the African president, instead, we put in chemicals. So this lady is right anyway. We don't look at us as who we are, you understand? So we end up failing in a number of things. You even look the way, not just here in South Africa, generally blacks. You see, you find that presidents go and die to hospitals outside, and they've got their own countries where economy is failing.
Mm.
So the lady is right. Instead of fighting and defending what she's saying, we have to support and look to us, truly. That is my comment.
And you don't even have to go far, SG. I think even if you look at how we do things in this country, the judiciary, you know, those garments that they wear, you go to parliament and look at what our parliamentarians or the officials in parliament are wearing. When there's a sitting of parliament, you get a sense of that influence. But let me ask you this, SG. I mean, we lived through years of colonialism, in a way or so. There's a way of life that was almost forced on us. And do you think it's fair to say we need to have unlearned that already? Because the reality is, when you look at the evolution of how black people look at themselves, things are changing. People are starting to embrace more of their natural hair. The people that have stopped putting on makeup, the people that don't wear weaves anymore. So it seems there is that awakening of who we are as a black people and taking pride in who we are, because now we know we are beautiful as we are, and there is no beauty and the standard of beauty that is being forced on us, and we're being told this is what beauty is, because the media has also played a role over the years in telling us what is beautiful, and black without makeup, with natural hair, didn't really fit that standard.
Yeah, you know, thank you, Clement. You know, there is a tune played by a gentleman called Mota Baruga. He talks about black beauty. You see, you don't need ambi, you don't need porn, you don't need anything, you don't need love names. You just are beautiful. And also, how unique are we? If you see someone, let's say, 100 meters or 2 kilometers walking across the street, you can clearly see that that is an African. But to all the other Europeans, Australians, or whatever, you may not tell. So that is our first uniqueness, African black people.
SG in Highlands North, thank you so much for your call. Mpo, you are in Orlando East. You agree with Tracy?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. I agree with her. I was actually looking at a tweet this morning. Like, I'm going to quote one of the tweets that said, I think your finger is pointing at the wrong people. Only black people, only blacks have the authority to give blacks their land back. Voting power, blacks, the truth. Majority in parliament, blacks, the truth. Ruling party, blacks, the truth. In 1930, you passed a land act, took the land. Do the same if you have balls. What is stopping us? Let's be honest. As Africans in South Africa, what is stopping us? Are we now saying, okay, let's start here. Let's stop blaming Tracy for the tweets, whether she's white or black. If a black person had said this, we would all be on the bandwagon to say that person is speaking the truth. So let's firstly confirm that this is the truth. We as Africans, from religion, from culture, we have our culture exported, refined somewhere else, and then it's brought back to us. Religion, it was exported. The religion was born and bred in Africa. Spirituality itself was born and bred in Africa. It was then exported. It came back now under the Roman Catholic Church, and we embraced it. We threw away our own customs and cultural beliefs, embracing something that was actually taken and stolen from us. It was then refined. This is the same as our gold and our diamonds, which are taken from Africa, refined and then brought back to us. Until we as black Africans, I don't like the term black because I've got my own reasons, but until we as brown Africans take back pride in ourselves, in our culture, we are forever going to have these people saying, this is not right, and then we will then stand back and be defensive instead of acknowledging that, yes, this
and having
is
these honest conversations. Yeah, Mpo, thank you so much for input, calling us from Orlando West. Tepo, you are in Alberton. Hi,
Clement.
Sure.
Yes, Clement, I do agree with Tracy. She is correct. First thing, we don't have our own Messiah. Jesus is from Israel, not from Africa. If you check the Bible, there's no way they're talking about Mr. Sithole. Zulu. Then I mean, there's no way that they are talking about those. They are talking about Africans. There, we are busy with Christianity. We are busy with a book that was written by the Jews, which is, and at the same time, we are trying to be white as bad people. We try to speak like white people. We buy the hair, which is even worse now. So I just feel like Tracy, she is correct. And until we as black people come into terms with our blackness, we won't rest, honestly.
Tsepo, thank you so much. Actually, I want to read this quick tweet before I go to more of your calls. Rams Mabota says, Clement, do you know if Tracy is a woman? I'm actually not sure, Rams. And I think when we were speaking with the producers earlier, I think the assumption we took was that Tracy is a woman because the profile picture on that tweet is of a white woman. But we don't really know the identity of Tracy. But as the other callers are saying, maybe what we need to do is engage with what she's introducing as a subject matter and have honest conversations about what she's speaking about and her reflections and not worry much about her race. Does it matter if she's black or white in terms of the issues that she is raising or he is raising? Bongani, you're in Tsakane. Hi.
So, Mr. Tebet, how are you?
Sharp, how's it, man?
Sharp, I'm calling me out. Look, my man, I'll try to minimize everything because of time. Ne?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So, man, if they look at Genesis chapter 7, Noah built the ark. Ne? And okay. He left with three children. It's Japhet and Ham and Shem. Are you with me?
I'm with you.
And then Japhet, they split it. If you read Genesis 11, where they tried to build the Tower of Babylon. Now, God made confusion. And then they split it. And then if you look at Shem landed in Africa. Because in the Bible, they didn't have country. They have land. And then Shem was black. Shem and Ham came to Africa and Europe. And then Japhet went to Asia. And then he became white. And then look, my man, if you look at Shem's generation, we have David, Absalom, and those people who have a Jesus bloodline.
Mm.
And then they changed the New Testament. That is why white people, they changed Jesus in 1611. They came with this thing and saying, Jesus is white and angel, black as devil. And then they changed the name in New Testament and saying, he will become Emmanuel. That is why they changed the breed. How can a woman give birth without mating with a man? It's not natural. But white people, they change everything. The guy who came with Christianity is Emperor Constantine. Are you with me, Clement?
I'm with you, Bongan.
So I did hear those, my man. So there will be confusion. No one knows where exactly what happened, but Jesus is black. They changed him in 1611. That is why they changed New Testament, because they also changed the breed. The New Testament is about the breed of Jesus. That is why the names is Isaac, Emmanuel. There's no Bafana. There's no Stepo. The white people, they're the ones who changed. The likes of King James Version. If you look at the King James Version, he was a king. He changed everything.
Yeah, and I wonder if it matters if Jesus is white or black, eh? What's the value and the principle of Christianity? Does it really matter? If you know and believe in that higher power, does it matter if Jesus is black or white, if you're a Christian? I'd like to hear from you. Mpo, you're in Morotele Park. Hi.
Hello, Clement. First time call.
So welcome, man.
I'd like to say congratulations to you.
Thank
for
you,
the spot, how late it may be. I just wanted to comment on this these tweets that you are talking about. Number one, Jesus was not black, and you are absolutely correct. It does not matter, because the Bible says whoever Jesus has died for, that is for the Jews and the Gentiles. And the translation of Gentiles means the whole world, all nations, because when it goes back to Genesis, where God says to Abraham, Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations. And many nations means everyone. So these tweets that this woman or man is talking about are very flawed, because they lack the truth or even sense. So I think we should just ignore her and let her go crazy.
Okay. Mpo says we must ignore Tracy. Some of you say she's raising... or he is raising some important aspects, and we must just engage generously and honestly with what she's reflecting on as a black people. Yeah, so those are your conversations on what Tracy has had to say.